bless you guys. Good to see Daniel here this morning, David. All right. Congratulations. Let me say a word before we get Lazarus out of his grave, okay? All right. do be observant as to what's going on in our world. I know some of you that bothers, but folks, if you're in Christ Jesus, these days are the best days that you're going to have, and myself, okay? But the way to follow what's going on is pay attention to Israel, okay? Now, just because all of the nations of the world are against Israel now, and that's all, including this nation that is turning against them, that's what God said in His Word, that before the coming of Jesus Christ, all of the nations of the world will turn against Israel, all right? So that's by script. The second thing I would caution you about is that Israel is going to win, all right? And they are going to be in the land that God gave them. So don't be panicky or fearful. But these are the things that are to happen according to God's Word before the coming of Jesus Christ. All right, just to say that because I don't know what's going to happen before next week, but the things are just heating up in rapid fashion right now. All right, over to John this morning, chapter 11. We stepped away from this last week because it was Resurrection Sunday. And so we come back this morning to John chapter 11. And read with me beginning in verse 38. Verse 38 of John 11. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, which we know as Lazarus, said to him, Jesus, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he's been dead 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" And the man who had died came out. His hands and his feet were bound with linen strips, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Now, since we're not all here every Sunday, so we're all on the same page this morning, let's get up to this point, all right? Jesus is in the wilderness. He is not in Bethany. He was in the wilderness, and he went there because they tried to arrest him in Jerusalem. They tried to stone him, and Jesus went back to the place where he was baptized in the wilderness. We got into the importance of that. It's there that his Father spoke from heaven, "This is my beloved Son in whom I well pleased." But he went out there with the disciples, and he's in the wilderness. That's a day's journey from Bethany. Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, a family that lived in Bethany, was just a couple of miles from Jerusalem, was sick. We don't know what he had. We don't know anything about that. We just know that in all likelihood, they had exhausted all of the miracles of their modern medicine, okay? And just like the woman with the issue of blood. He didn't get any better. He's not getting any better. He's in serious shape. And the girls, Mary and Martha, send for Jesus. Now, they don't have telephones and all that kind of stuff, so they had to send a person. And so this person took a day to go out into the wilderness where Jesus is and tell him, Lazarus is sick. And then Jesus tarried 2 days longer. He didn't say, let's go. Let's get down to Bethany. He waited 2 days. And then he left, so 4 days elapsed. So in all likelihood, Lazarus died on the day the messenger was going to Jesus. Now, there's a key phrase in there that we looked at that if you'll remember, it's for your sakes. For your sakes. Jesus said, I'm glad that I wasn't there in Bethany where Lazarus was sick. For your sakes. Don't lose that. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. So, Jesus then goes with the 12 disciples down to Bethany. And when Martha, one of the sisters, heard that he was close, she went out to meet him. Mary stayed in the house, seated and weeping, crying, along with the mourners who were with her. And Martha goes out and meets Jesus, and she gets where he is, and she said, Lord, if you'd been here, teacher, if you'd been here, our brother would not have died. Now, I don't know what she was doing there. I don't know if she was blaming Jesus. I don't know if that's a statement of faith. All of the above, perhaps. But that's the thing that was on her heart and mind. And so then Martha and Jesus have this doctrinal discussion about the resurrection. Don't miss this. When Martha went to Jesus, Jesus said, your brother will rise again. He told her. He told her what he was going to do. Your brother will rise again. And she said, I know that. I know he's going to rise in the last day. He'll be then. And she just gets right on by. Folks, pay attention here, okay? We, when God speaks, we need to pay attention to what he's saying, not what we think he's saying. Okay? And if you don't know, say, Lord, what are you saying? What does this mean to me at this time? He will tell you then. Mary, totally different personality than Martha. Martha went back and she said to Mary, who's in the house crying, the teacher is here, and he's calling for you. And so Mary got up and goes to Jesus. No doctrinal discussion here, but she says the same thing. Lord, Master, Teacher, if you had been here, our brother would not have died. They've rehearsed this, it sounds like. And then she falls at his feet weeping. That's the background of what's going on up into where we are today. I want us to look at three things in this passage or from this passage. First of all, the fact of death. Then I want us to look at the feelings associated with death. And then finally, I want us to look at the fantastic victory over death displayed by Jesus Christ, the Son of God. All right, let's look first of all the fact of death. Where this is going, Jesus said, where have you laid him? Where have you laid him? Now, everybody around knew that Lazarus had died. Mary and Martha knew that Lazarus had died. There is a fact of death. As we looked at some weeks ago, death is definable. We talked about, if you remember, we won't go back into to the details of that, but there is something called clinical death where blood stops circulating through your body. In this day, that was death because they had no means of resuscitation as we have today. It is possible today that a person's heart will stop beating and there are ways to revive them. At the emergency room, or you can walk into most public buildings now and they have these, Doc, what do they call those, electric deals? Yeah, right there on the wall. You pull them off and right there. Okay? So we can do that. There is clinical death, but then there is biological death. And biological death means not only is your heart not beating, your blood's not circulating, there is no respiration, you're not breathing, and your brain is not functioning. No brain waves. All right? Lazarus had died, and he is buried. He is dead. And like Andy alluded to a minute ago, today there's the swoon theory about Jesus, that they put him in the tomb, and he wasn't really dead, and he just was in there in the cool rock that he was laying on, and that's what revived him. Jesus has raised two people already. Now, they weren't buried. Jairus' daughter and the widow of Nain's son, both were dead, died. And Jesus revived them, but they weren't buried. In this case, the fact is that Lazarus died and is buried, and Jesus says, "Where have you laid him? Where have you laid him?" It is a fact that he had died. And everybody around knew this. Now, in this culture, when it says, when we talk about buried, not as we think about it. Today there is a grave opening, and there is a dig down 6 feet or whatever, and that's the casket, and the casket goes in or lowered down into that 6 foot hole, buried. Not so in this culture. You don't dig anything in this land. It's rocks, solid rocks. So what they did was they put the people who are deceased above ground. In this case, in a cave. Jesus was in a hewn out rock above ground. That's the grave of this day. And so we transfer between cultures, but we can't on this one. Because Lazarus is not buried into the ground. He is in a cave. And there's a rock that's been laid in front of him. The fact that he is buried establishes that he has died. He is deceased. Now, what's going on here is not about Lazarus. And by the way, let me hasten to say, when we read Scripture, read it in context, and then ask the most strategic and important, who is Jesus dealing with, or who is God dealing with in this passage? We are awfully good about pirating what God is doing in an individual's life for an individual purpose and then extrapolating that to us. There are things that are said that are universal truths for all of us, and there are some things that aren't. This is one of those things. Lazarus coming out of the tomb does not mean that everybody can be raised from the dead in this life. This is him. We need to be careful about that. And there are many other places where we'll take that and say, well, I claim that promise there that God made to Jeremiah or somebody, and I claim that for me. Maybe not. Now, the truth is, what is going on here is not about Lazarus. Lazarus is a tool that God is using, a blessed tool. He was dead, and now he's alive. But he's a tool. This is about for your sakes, the 12 disciples. This is for them. They are going to carry forth the gospel of Jesus Christ in its infancy to the world. They've got to be all in. And Jesus is showing them that he was sent from God, that he is the Savior of the world, God in the flesh, and that he is powerful and has victory over everything, even death. You got to have that resolve if you're going to go through what they're going to go through. Okay? All right. So Lazarus The fact is, he's been in the grave probably 4 days. They buried on the first day that a person died in that climate. So he has been, he died and was buried and has been dead for 4 days. Everyone was convinced of that. Nobody here says, I don't really think he's dead. We don't hear that anywhere in this passage of Scripture. Nobody's saying that. So the fact is that Lazarus is dead. Let's look now at the feelings when death comes. And again, I'm very sensitive to numerous ones of you who have most recently walked in this path of losing a loved one. All of us have lost loved ones in our lives, but some of you it's very fresh, and in no way do I want to hurt, but I want to give you hope today. I want to give you hope today that this is not the end, this thing called death. But in this time, Lazarus has died, he's buried, and there's sorrow and mourning and sadness and grieving, just like there is in our day when we lose a loved one. Why, what's going on when a person that we know and love dies? The same thing that's going on with these girls and the people gathered around. There's a loss of fellowship. There's a loss of fellowship with the one who has died. It's a permanent thing. I can still remember when my mother passed away some years ago now. She was out at the hospital and she had pancreatic cancer. And that's quick, okay? We're talking months, all right? And she died, and I went back to the house where she lived. And always before, I'd go in the back door, say, Mom, it's John. So she would know somebody wasn't breaking her house, okay? And we'd get a kick out of that. I went back the day she died. Nobody's there. Nobody's coming back. There was that emptiness that many of you have experienced. Life's just not the same. There's the sorrow and the mourning and the sadness and the grieving. And those who knew and loved Lazarus were grieving and weeping. Now, some of those who were grieving and weeping, according to Jewish oral tradition, this is not in the Scripture, okay? It was expected that if you lost a loved one, you paid two flute players and a wailing woman, okay? They were professionals. And you hired them when you lost a loved one. And so this is going to come and play an important role here in just a second. And perhaps the speculation is that maybe Mary and Martha and Lazarus were people of means because they had a lot of people there. Maybe some people that knew them, but maybe several professionals. We don't know. You get the idea that there's a crowd here. Now, that's the feelings that these people had. Grieving, sorrow, mourning, sadness. Lazarus has died. When Jesus went to the tomb, we see another type of emotion. Now stay with me, okay? The Scripture says in verse 38, then Jesus, listen, deeply moved again. He came to the tomb, deeply moved again. Now, the commentators kind of do this on this, okay? Pay attention to the word again. This is the second time because up in can't read the little numbers here, 32, okay, 33, it says that he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. That's when Mary came to him and fell at his feet and the people were weeping. All right? And that says that he was deeply moved again. Same word. Same thought. What's going on? Now, certainly, he is compassionate. He cares. We've established that in weeks past. He cared about these people and the loss that they had. Absolutely. But there's something else going on. Remember, in this passage, when we started, this is, I think, one of the best places in Scripture where we see Jesus as all God and all man. He is deeply moved. I think your scripture may say groaned in his spirit. Maybe some of your translations say that. Something else is going on with Jesus. Another emotion here. This word is always interpreted, this groan, suggests anger, outrage, emotional indignation. What? Jesus is mad. He's angry. What's he angry about? God is angry. He is God in the flesh. Perhaps he's angry at the charade of the mourning and weeping. I don't know. Certainly he's angry at the fact that death had to occur because sin had entered the world. That wasn't his plan. He didn't plan on death entering the world when he created man in his likeness and after his image and after his likeness. He didn't plan that. But man sinned, and now death has to occur. Maybe that's what he's angry about. Maybe he's angry at the unbelief. He's already told Martha, your brother will rise again. But they're not believing it. They're seeing this Lazarus' death as final, complete, totally, it's over. He was troubled, deeply moved again. He knows what's going to happen. He knows that Lazarus is going to come out of the grave. He's compassionate, but he's also angry. Because these are people around the tomb who have no hope. They have no hope. They're reacting like pagans. They saw death as final with no hope of life after death. So Jesus' response as all God and all man, compassionate, yes, but also he's responding as God in the flesh to the unbelief of these people. We struggle with this, folks. They struggle with it. We struggle with it. You see, God the Father and God the Son look at death differently than we do. God the Father and God the Son look at life differently than we do. We see death and life in a temporal context. God the Father and God the Son see death in an eternal context. They also see life in an eternal context. And I think that's what we're getting in this passage right here. At the grave, at the tomb, is that God is coming from his perspective, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, all God, and the people are coming from their perspective of death. Do some study on that. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. The fact of death, the feelings of death. They were different. And now let us look at the fantastic victory over death. Been waiting for this for weeks. It's here. Now, at this point, Jesus has been kind of in the background a little bit. Center stage is the death of this person that he loved, the family, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus steps up now, and he's in charge. They go to the tomb, and Jesus steps up. He's in charge. Death's not in charge any longer. The professional mourners are not in charge. Mary and Martha are not in charge. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, is in charge of this situation. And he walks up there, and he said, "Take away the stone." Now, we don't hear him say, "Guys, move the rock." No. He's not up there hesitant, you know. He doesn't have a script, let's see. No. He's God in the flesh. And he steps up according to his time, according to his will, according to his purpose. Take away the stone. That's the door. That's how you get in to the burial site. And now Lazarus is going to get out. He's in charge. Folks, if you're in Christ Jesus, he's always in charge of your life and mine also. He is Lord, right? If you are in Christ Jesus, he is Lord of your life. He's in charge. And he will move any stone in your life that needs to be moved to bring glory to him. He can do it. He's in charge. And I can save you a lot of sleepless nights if you'll just say, "Lord, I don't understand such and such that's going on. Lord, I don't understand why the house isn't selling, or why I lost my job, or why this happened or that happened." You're in charge. Good night, Lord. I'll see you in the morning. Take away the stone. Martha, come on. Lord, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days. Composition is set in. Lord, don't move the rock. Martha, what are you doing? I can hear Jesus saying, it's not in the scripture either, "Hey, tell me something I don't know, Martha, okay?" Jesus knows. Martha's trying to put it in that temporal context. Dead is dead. Decomposition is setting in. There's an odor. Don't move the rock. You ever done that? The very thing that Jesus needs to move in your life to glorify his name is the very thing that we resist him doing. You ever been there? Jesus is getting a little bit irritated. All right? We established the fact, I believe, that he was angry, in part, for sure. And in response to what she said, he said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And you can go back to 25 and 26 if you want to see that. "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And that's, folks, why we need to go back here. To hear what he said. And it always has to do with his glory. And we don't have to understand that either. He is going to advance his kingdom and glorify his name. And he said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Martha, verbose Martha, doesn't say a word. No verbal response from Martha. And they moved the rock. I don't know how many it took. In Jesus' case, it took an angel, okay? I don't see an angel here. It took a bunch of guys. because the grave has to be opened so Lazarus can come. Now, he could have come right through the rocks. Don't restrict Jesus, okay? But this is not about Lazarus coming out as much as it is the people who are out there seeing him come out because Jesus said come out. You follow all that? And so they remove the rock. And then there's something that happens. There's a meeting. God the Son and God the Father, right there in the doorway of this tomb, they have a meeting. Did you catch that? Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me. But on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. What? It's hello, guys, kind of deal, you know? This is not about Mary, Martha, any of the mourners, no one else, Lazarus, nobody. This is God the Father and God the Son talking there in the doorway of this tomb. Key point, this is about the kingdom. This is about the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, Jesus has taught earlier. Kingdom means His rule and reign over the lives of people. That's kingdom. And this is about the kingdom. The rule and reign of Jesus Christ over the lives of these people. They need to see this. And Lazarus, as we said, is merely a tool, a blessed tool that God is working through to advance His kingdom, to prepare those who will carry forth the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the fact that He died on a cross for the sins of the world. Those who are going to pick this up, now they're going to be anointed, we know that at Pentecost, but they need to be readied, and they need to be fearless. They're all going to die a martyr's death except John. They've got to be ready. Hey, what's He doing in your life to get you ready to take the gospel where He's going to send it through you? Do you know many of the things that are going on in your lives right now and mine are for this very same purpose? They look like just absolute tragedies, but if you're in Christ Jesus, He has a kingdom purpose for what that is in your life. Now, folks, you can sleep all night if you go with that one, too. There's a context to that which is going on, not in everybody's life, but those who are in Christ Jesus. What God does, He does for His glory. That verse we cling to so tightly. All things work together for good. The good of those who love God, those who are the called according to His purpose. That fits right here, doesn't it? What God does, He does for His glory, for the advancement of His kingdom. And God is most glorified when sinners that He created are redeemed and believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. He is most glorified then. And then He begins to construct us into the images of His Son Jesus. That brings Him great glory when He creates, if I can say it this way, little Jesuses all around. You see, that's what's going on. That's what's going on. God is most glorified when sinners are redeemed and they are conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, freed from the power of sin, the presence of sin, and the penalty of sin. All right. Second command. Jesus is in charge. Move the rock. Lazarus, come out. And as we said a few weeks ago, you probably heard this, but it's a good thing He said Lazarus. Or all the graves around there, everybody would have come out. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, or just somebody made that up. But He specifies Lazarus come out. This is for Lazarus. Anybody named Lazarus in here? All right. Lazarus come out. Now, some of you through the weeks have kind of come up after the service, and you said, where did he come from? Where did Lazarus come from? Where was he? I told whoever those folks were, there are more than one, we'll get to that. We're there today, okay? Where did Lazarus come from? Now, in the Old Testament, there's some other things that we need to know here when we look at Scripture. There are strategic events. The sin of man in the garden, strategic event. The giving of the law, strategic event. The Abrahamic covenant, strategic event. The coming of Jesus Christ as a baby, strategic event. Of course, Jesus' death on the cross, strategic event. Jesus coming again in the air for the church, there are those strategic events. All right? One of those strategic events has not occurred yet. So in the Old Testament, the covenant is with the Jews, descendants of Abraham. All right? And Mary and Martha and Lazarus were those people. So in the Old Testament, before the resurrection of Jesus, a person who died, a Jewish person who died, went to a place of the dead called Sheol, S-H-E-O-L, place of the dead. In Sheol, the place of the dead, there were two compartments. One was paradise slash Abraham's bosom, and Hades or torments. Now, some places in Scripture that validate that. Remember the story about the rich man and Lazarus? Not this Lazarus, another Lazarus. Kind of like Bob in our day, okay? A lot of Bobs around, a lot of Lazaruses around, all right? And so, in the rich man and Lazarus, they both died. Remember, Jesus taught this story? That's not a parable either, I don't believe, because the people have names. The people have names. But Lazarus died and went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and went to torments. And the rich man, there's conversation going on here. There's dialogue, etc. And the rich man even wanted to send somebody to tell my brothers because of the torment of this place. Bring Lazarus down there. Let him just dip his finger in the water and let the drop of water fall on my tongue. And there's this graphic description of torments and of Abraham's bosom. Thief on the cross. The one who believed. What did Jesus say to him? Today you will be with me, where? In paradise. So the Old Testament place of the dead, pre-resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Old Testament dead. Remember we read last week? When Jesus died and the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, the graves were opened and many of the who? Saints? Who's that? Can't be a post-resurrection saint. A pre-resurrection saint. Those Old Testament saints who looked forward to the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, the graves were open and they came out. Now, I don't want to part fellowship with anybody over this, but I don't think they went back to the grave. I think they went to heaven. You see, heaven is not yet opened at this time. Lazarus was in paradise. Lazarus was in paradise. We've heard the confession of Martha already. These people believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, came in the flesh. He came from paradise, out of the grave, back to life. Now, Jesus has arisen. Okay. Gee whiz. Tough crowd. Jesus has arisen. And because he has risen, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. All right? Sheol is closed for new entrance. All right? If you're in Christ Jesus today, and for the loved ones that you have lost, some of you so recently, if they were in Christ Jesus, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, there is coming a day. That body's buried, okay? That physical body is buried. There's coming a day when He, Jesus Christ, comes back just as He said, in the air. And the dead in Christ, will rise first. And the spirit that has gone to heaven, and the body which is in the ground or the tomb or wherever, is raised, and there is a new body. What does that body look like? It's a resurrected body. Changed. Those of us who are alive and remain, we will be caught up to meet Him in the air, changed in the twinkling of an eye. What are we changed into? Will John Wheeler not have a crooked nose? Truth of the matter is, folks, I'm not going to care, neither are you. All the things that just grieve us so in this life, a resurrected body. We get an idea of what that was like with Jesus' resurrected body. He ate. Had fish. Tim, you can have fish fry for him. He had fish there with his disciples. He walked through walls. You know, don't get too out of... It's different.
Well, will I be married in heaven?
No. We'll just put that to rest, okay? You may know your husband, wife, you know, as a brother, sister in Christ. But marriage is for this life. It's going to be different. And trust me, folks, you say, well, I hear young people especially, and I'll throw rocks at you. Well, I don't want Jesus to come back, because He comes back, I won't get to go to college, and I won't get to... You know. Folks, what He has prepared for you, the things of earth grow strangely dim, and we don't give a rip. All right? So don't go missing the flesh stuff, because what's waiting for you, if you're in Christ, you won't even think about, and I won't either, about these things that we are holding on to so tightly down here. So where did Lazarus come from? I believe he came from paradise. He's going to die again. He's going to die again. In fact, after this, he's kind of a rock star. Everybody wants to come see the man that was raised. The Jews came and they were going to kill Jesus and Lazarus. I mean, you don't kill somebody that doesn't have a testimony that's hurting your cause. But he does die again. I don't know how long he lived, but he does die again. This is a one-time event for kingdom purposes. There are people around who are trying to raise dead people. There are. Every now and then you'll see something about it in the news or something like that. Folks, God controls life and death. And people do not raise people from the dead. There are some things that go on in the tribulation period. Okay, you go over there and read about that. We're not going there today. Okay? But for here and now, people are not called out of the grave like Lazarus was. This is for kingdom purposes. For your sakes, for the people standing around, Jesus said. But there's a grave in your future. Everyone. There's a grave in all of our futures. There's a time when someone will say, she, he, died. It'll be just as much a fact as it was when Lazarus died. And there's a time when we will be buried if Jesus tarries. But there's also a day when that grave will be opened. Your grave, my grave, the grave of all of those loved ones we lost is going to be open, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And if you don't make it, you're still alive. You wait. And then those of us who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet him in the air. Difference, though, is he's not going to say, Chuck! Come out. Or Lynn, come out. Need to be equal there, he said. Okay. No names. Trumpet. There will be a trumpet. And the dead in Christ will rise. Trumpets always heralded important events in Scripture. And this is a pretty big time event. I remember, Andy, you know I'm not a music person, but I remember listening to a spiritual, okay? That great getting up morning. You probably produced that, didn't you? Or sang it or whatever, okay? That great getting up morning. It's a Negro spiritual. Whoever wrote that knew that there was a day when a grave, their grave, would be opened and they would get up and meet him in the air. And all of this that we've dealt with Lazarus, I come to one question and we close. Are you going to get up in that great getting up morning? When that trumpet sounds, what is going to happen to you if you are in the grave? Let's pray. Well, Father, I'm impressed. Most of the people in these chairs are impressed. You, the life giver. Little Daniel taught us that a while ago. You gave life to that little one. And not only are you the life giver, but you're the redeemer that gives spiritual life, eternal life. You are more powerful than death in the grave. We know that. Those of us who have believed are basing our whole existence on that fact. You are victorious over the grave and over death. If we've learned nothing else from Lazarus, we learn that truth anew this morning. Lord, I pray that every person in this room knows that they will get up out of that grave on that great getting up morning. If there is someone here who does not know that, is not convinced of that, I pray they wouldn't walk out these doors this morning until they are. I pray that they too would believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be a part of that great entourage of believers who are going to get up out of that grave to meet you in the air. In Jesus' name. Fandy and I can help pray with you. Do continue. And I know many of you are. Pray for David and Stacy ongoingly. There are others, but those two folks are really on my mind and heart these days. Do pray for them in these days. You come this morning if we can help. We're dismissed.